Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Gurdhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Mataji, is Prabhuji joined?
Yeah, he is present, but we are not able to hear him. Prabhuji, we are not able to hear you, Prabhuji. If you can, you know, connect with headphones or something. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, so Prabhuji is restarting. I mean, he'll just log out and log in again. So we'll just wait. You can hold on.
Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, sir. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. You can take over. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 23, Text Number 6. This is the chapter title, Life's Ultimate Goal, which is Love of Godhead. Eidui Bhavera Swarupa Tatastha Lakshana Premera Lakshana Ebe Suna Sanatana. Translation, Bhava, emotion, has two different symptoms, constitutional and marginal. Now, my dear Sanatana, listen to the symptoms of love. Purport. The word Suddha Sattva Viseshatma means situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. In this way, the soul is purified of all material contamination, and this position is called Swarupa Lakshana, the constitutional symptom of bhava, emotion. By various tastes, one's heart is softened and there is an awakening of one's loving propensity to render spontaneous service to the Lord. This is called Tatastha Lakshana, the marginal symptom of bhava. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today we will discuss this particular shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, which talks about bhava. The context that we are in is that Mahaprabhu is continuing his description about devotional service, and this chapter he is raising his bar up in his description about the devotional service to go up to the stage of prema and the symptoms of prema. He is also going to describe in this chapter about devotees who have imbibed or who is having these wonderful qualities within them, and he is going to finally bless Sanatana Goswami to further develop this and expand on what he has shared over here. So, if the last chapter was deep, Siddhanta, this chapter we are going further down, deep in terms of the aspects of devotional service. As it was requested by the organizers that we also should speak about some Leela of Mahaprabhu. So as a part of our discussions today, we will also correlate some Leela to this current context. First of all, the stage of Bhava that Mahaprabhu is explaining is not something that we can understand using our material intelligence. If we try to understand things using materialistic intelligence of the stage of Bhav, then we will definitely land up in drawing wrong conclusions. So hence, it is extremely important to follow in the direction that Mahaprabhu is explaining here, and definitely I'm sure the speaker, those who are going to come further, they're going to throw more and more light on this. It's a very strong warning or a note to all the students of Chaitanya Charitamrita that when topics like these are being discussed, please try to learn them as described by Mahaprabhu and Acharyas. And if for some reason it is getting really eccentric or really too deep that we are not able to comprehend, that the non-comprehendable aspect of the Siddhanta is also a Siddhanta. So this is not a mechanical learning. Hence we will deal this chapter with utmost caution, not to relate, interpret or assign any of the emotions described to the emotions that we know in the materialistic context. From the materialistic frame of mind, any attraction or any activities that are connected deeply with the Supreme Lord is a kind of little over too much. Because those who are operating on sensual platform, as we discussed in the last class, in the Bhagavatam class, we discussed about emotions are from four different areas: body, mind, intelligence and soul. And emotions exhibited from the bodily platform and emotions exhibited in the platform of mind, both are supposed to be given up or both are supposed to be ignored. So this conversation about bhava and their symptoms and their emotions are something that we need to start accepting through the parampara and illuminate our intelligence, else we will consider the emotions of bhava to be completely in the materialistic platform. As Srila Prabhupada explained, this is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. Suddha Sattva Visheshatma, the person who has transcended all modes of material nature and his perception, his understanding and interaction is not in the context of body or mind, it is purely of intelligence and to a further extent to the level of the soul. We discussed in one of the earlier sessions, couple of weeks, 3 weeks before, when we spoke about Ragatmika Bhakti, and at that time we listed around 9 symptoms of bhava as explained by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So we kind of had a heads up to this context. So as a part of this shloka, we are going to have some set of reflections, and through these reflections we will try to at least understand this concept bhava. According to Rupa Goswami, the stage of bhava is the stage where we have spontaneous devotion exhibited. Srila Prabhupada explains that the spontaneity, or a person who is not requiring a reason to perform devotional service. Today, for us to perform devotional service, we have various reasons. Our reasons are because of our initiation vows. Our reasons are because of the fear of if we don't do it, what will happen to us. We are doing this Krishna consciousness because we are being told by our superiors, our so-called spiritual identity at stake if you don't do it. So there are various external reasons why somebody performs or try to perform devotional life. Somebody is curious, somebody is in trouble, artho jignyasu artha arthi jnani. But here we come to a stage of devotion at the stage of bhava bhakti, where things are spontaneous. And the spontaneousness is not only from bhakta to prabhu, it is also from prabhu to bhakta, which means supreme lord to the devotee and devotee to the supreme lord. Both ways, spontaneous expression of love is exhibited. If these spontaneous love is not exhibited, or the spontaneous aspect is missing, then we can very clearly say we are not yet in the stage of bhava. So in our discussion today, we are going to talk about the stage of steadiness before spontaneousness and we are going to also discuss about some leela of the spontaneousness. The tadastha lakshana that Srila Prabhupada is talking about is the spontaneousness, and the constitutional nature, the swarupa lakshana that he is talking about is situating on the transcendental platform. The difference between a person in the stage of bhava and prema are very subtle and very, very minute. It is like a early morning and full morning. In early morning, 5:36 after the sunrise or about the sunrise, darkness is already gone. At the same time, we don't claim it as full daylight. So technically at the stage of bhava, all the gross anarthas and propensities to challenge the supremacy of the Lord is completely eradicated, and there may be some minutest traces which may still need to be cleansed. Otherwise, the stage of bhava is in itself a very pure stage. And the stage of bhava is also a stage where somebody's constitutional identity is experienced or revealed. Our conditional identity as of today is on our social status. We may claim ourselves as intelligent human being, but our social status depends upon the choices that we make, the relationship that we are in. It tries to give us various responsibilities and keep whipping on our back, and we keep slogging to fulfill those conditional responsibilities. If we keep doing these conditional responsibilities, then we will never be able to talk about the constitutional responsibility. Hence, we need to definitely get ourselves steady in Krishna consciousness. If we are not fixed up firmly in our Krishna consciousness, then we will not be able to get into the stage of spontaneousness. So, if we go by our progression of consciousness, we were in the stage of sickness to the stage of Shraddha, to the stage of stagnancy, to the stage of steadiness, and to the stage of spontaneousness. What is the stage of sickness? It is when we try to identify ourselves with this body. When we are not understanding that we are the spirit soul. When we are continuously thinking about our external things and not understanding about our constitutional nature. So that stage of sickness, when we come in contact with a self-realized devotee, or when we come in contact with Srila Prabhupada books, or when we come in contact with prasadam, or for various reason, we develop some shraddha or some inquisitiveness, initial amount of faith. And once we get this faith, we are coming into the stage of little bit of devotion in which we have some taste of what this spirituality is all about. And we start to have some basic spiritual practices, and we keep on doing that, doing that, doing that, doing that. Because of our not being serious or whatever may be the case, we come to the stage of stagnancy. This stagnancy is a very tricky stage, or it's a stage where we technically call, according to Rupa Goswami, the stage of anartha nivritti. If it is not very systematically and steadily happening, then we become stagnant devotees. We see most of us, or a lot of us, we try to stay in the same state of consciousness for the past several years. Some of us even claim that our spiritual life is very nice. That's why they say ignorance is bliss. Because the more you don't know about what spirituality is, we think we are spiritual and continue to remain in a stage of stagnancy. So somehow, a spiritual master helps us to come out of the stage of stagnancy and encourages us to the stage of steadiness. So we are going to discuss the transition from stagnancy to steadiness, and the stage from steadiness to spontaneousness. The spontaneousness is what is all about this bhava bhakti that we are talking today. We will talk about this constitutionality and marginality in a bit. But then bhava bhakti is nothing but spontaneous love for Krishna. And there need not be any material or bodily or mental reasons for being associated with the Supreme Lord. I am praying to Krishna, serving Krishna because I love Krishna. So the relationship with Krishna has transcended from the materialistic platform to another platform. So we philosophically knew the six states. We philosophically knew our Shraddha stage. We also have spoken about stagnancy a bit. So according to Madhurya Kadambini, a person will continue to remain in the stage of stagnancy, or a person will not be able to come to the stage of steadiness, because stagnancy stops steadiness, and if you are not steady in our devotional life, there is no spontaneousness. So let us talk about what stops us from being in, what stops us in going to steadiness from stagnancy. We will talk about what is steadiness all about, and we will also touch base on spontaneousness, then some leela. Five persistent obstacles that does not let steadiness manifest in us. As per Madhurya Kadambini are, Number one, laya. Number two, vikshepa. Number three, apratipati. Number four, kashaya. Number five, rasaswada. What do they mean? Laya means our propensity to sleep. Vikshepa means distraction towards mundane topics whilst performing service, especially gossiping while japa. Apratipati means indifference or disinterest in spiritual topics. Occasionally, inability to perform kirtana, sometimes even though laya and vikshepa are not there. Kashaya means tendency to indulge in anger, greed, pride due to past bad habits. Rasaswada means inability to absorb the mind in kirtana if one gets the opportunity for material sense pleasure. We just go one step further down. It is explained that there are conscious beings, which is like human beings or, you know, jivas or demigods or personalities in this, you know, higher abode. Conscious beings are of two types. One is independently conscious beings. Second is dependent conscious beings. This one is Ishvara. Another one is Jiva. So independent conscious beings, Ishvara, again have two types. One who not at all touched by Maya. One accepts the touch of Maya. Jiva are also covered under two categories. One is one who is not covered by ignorance. Another one is one who is covered by ignorance. I am getting a little technical here. This whole chapter is going to be technical like this, because we are going to talk about things which are deeper sense of devotional sentiments, and we better learn to at least theoretically assimilate this. So according to Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur, conscious beings, Chaitanya, are two categories, Ishvara and Jiva. Ishvara are independent, Jiva are dependent. Ishvara has got further two categories. Category number one is one who is not at all touched by Maya. For example, Narayana. Please refer Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. Category number two is one who accepts the touch of Maya as a part of his responsibility, like Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's position is unique. He is independent. He is Ishvara. At the same time, as a part of his functioning, he accepts the touch of Maya or some adulteration. Again, refer Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.3. This is about Ishvara, which about whom we are not talking about today. because let us talk about jiva category, because this bhava, prema, they are all connected to how we can elevate our consciousness. And now we are talking about stagnancy to steadiness to spontaneousness. So I'm just giving you some prelude before talking about those five aspects which Madhurya Kadamani explained. So the jiva, who is dependent category, has got two classification. One is one who is not covered by ignorance, which means they are under the influence of Lord's Aishwarya Shakti. Second is one who is covered by ignorance, which means they are definitely under some category of ignorance and not influenced by Aishwarya Shakti. So example for jiva who is not covered by ignorance, four kumaras, Brahma. What are the characteristics of them? One who is absorbed in jnana, one who is absorbed in the function of direct service accepted from the Supreme Lord. Like kumaras, they are so much absorbed in jnana, belonging to the spiritual sphere. Maybe they are not in the Vaikuntha Loka, they are in the Brahman platform before they met Narada Muni. Because after Brahma created four kumaras to subsequently take care of the creation, four kumaras did not want to do the creation, so they decided to completely situate themselves in the transcendental consciousness, and they originally merged themselves into the Brahman realization because they were Brahman realized soul till they came in contact with the aroma from the garland of the Supreme Lord, as well as they came in contact with Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly says that those who are Brahman realized, their state of consciousness is very, very precarious, because in Brahman realization, apart from eternity, there is very limited or almost negligible activity and happiness. But the soul has the fundamental characteristics to love and to serve. Because of the absence of these two characteristics, the person in the Brahman realized platform always feel at that point in time precariously confused or suffocated, that he wishes to come down. So Srila Prabhupada expresses or urges us to elevate our consciousness beyond Brahman, beyond Paramatma, and situate us in the consciousness of Bhagavan. That is why he started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And as a part of this Krishna Consciousness movement, he engaged us in service, and he helped us in developing our loving relationship with Krishna as well as Krishna's devotees. That is why this stage of devotional service is more sustainable and growable, on the contrary to what the other aspects of devotions are. To come back to the point of dependent jivas who are not covered by ignorance, because they are under the influence of Lord's Aishwarya Shakti, they are still protected, even though they are just a Brahma, a Kumaras as an example. And those who are covered by ignorance, like demigods, men, women, animals, so they are the ones who are, because of various karmic activities or being part of modes of material nature, they are in different strata of the social existence. So such a spirit soul who is covered by ignorance, which is where we started about being in the sixth state, when they come in contact with the sadhu, or devotional component, develop some Shraddha and try to practice Bhakti. And after stage, when the spirit soul is not showing seriousness, not working actively on getting rid of the ignorance within him by this practice, by the Shraddha that he has sown, the seed that was sown, if he is not watering them properly, then his spiritual life will continue to remain as unsteady Krishna consciousness, anishtita bhakti. So there are two types, nishtita and anishtita. Nishta means steadiness. Anishta means unsteady. And that's where Madhurya Kadambini explains the five reasons or five persistent obstacles that restrict our devotional journey. So, the five points are sleep during Kirtana, Japa and Smarana, distraction toward mundane topics while performing service, especially gossiping while Japa, inability to perform Kirtana even though we have this tendency to sleep or getting distracted is not explicitly present within us. Fourth, tendency to indulge in anger, greed, pride, etc. due to past bad habits. And fifth is inability to absorb the mind in Kirtana if one gets the opportunity for material sense pleasure. So if we work on these five and improve upon them, then our devotional life will switch from Anishtita Krishna Bhakti, from stage of Anishtita, to it will come to the stage of Nishta. Nishta means steadiness. You all can refer to a very interesting article written by His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj in Dandavads on steadiness. If we are not steady, if we are consistently not fixed up or firmly fixed up in Krishna consciousness, then where can we expect spontaneousness in our devotional life? If spontaneousness is not existing in our devotional life, how can we expect pure love of Godhead? So if there is no pure love of Godhead, what are we doing even after coming in contact with this wonderful Mahavadanya incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead? So it is all kind of linked up, and hence Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura requests us to elevate to the stage of being steady in Krishna consciousness. So hence, if somebody works on these five aspects and improve upon them, how do I overcome from my sleep? It is by the habits and the association that we choose. Our eating habits, our daily routine, our priorities, our sleeping time, our daily schedule. So with all these things we work on our sleep, because sleep is a direct representation of ignorance. Prabhupada says, if you sleep less or if you sleep more, both are sense gratification. In the sense, if you sleep less for the sake of proving a point or doing sense gratification, there are acharyas who have naturally developed consciousness above this. Guda Kesha, Arjuna is called one who has won over slumber. That actually refers to somebody whose sleep is also a devotional life. And how do we handle the distraction towards mundane topics? At least by facilitating about devotional topics. Madchitta madgada prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So like that, all these five topics, we can go on and on. We have other things to discuss. So somehow or other, if somebody is able to fix these five obstacles, then they will be able to focus their Krishna consciousness from an unsteady state to a steady state. The point here is that we should avoid these five and perform our sadhana nicely. So I'm not, you know, discounting, when I'm not stating it, doesn't mean that they are not important. They are vital. There's a assumed or a pre-stated understanding that our chanting and our Panchanga Bhakti, all the five components are inherently important for our progress. So we are not restating it here because it's obvious ones. So by removing these five, if somebody performs their Panchanga Bhakti, then they go from the stage of Anishtita Krishna Bhakti to the Nishtita Krishna Bhakti, to the stage of stagnancy or unsteadiness to the stage of steadiness. In that stage of steadiness, there are two categories. One is called Sakshat Bhaktir Vartani. Second is Bhakti Anukula Vastur Vartini. Madhurya Kadamini says that when I am in the stage of steady devotional service, I have activities which are concerning directly to bhakti. Second is, I have certain things which are concerning elements favorable to perform bhakti. And both are hand in hand and help each other to achieve steadiness. So the stage of nishta, steadiness, is extremely important. So what is Sakshat Bhaktir Vartini, or those activities that are concerning to bhakti directly? They are bodily service, vocal activities, as well as mental activities that are directly concerned in glorifying the Supreme Lord and Supreme Lord's devotees. There are no other focus but for just physically, kayena vacha manasrendriyeva buddhyatmana vat prakriti svabhava karomi yat yat sakalam varasmai narayana iti samarpayami. It's a very famous prayer that typically we all chant but don't know the meaning of them sometimes. So vacha, sharir, and man and buddhi, words, body, mind, intelligence. Jananda Maharaj jokingly say that BMW, body, mind and words, all three are dovetailed in Krishna's service only. So if somebody's bodily service, vocal activities, mental activities are directed towards glorifying Krishna and his devotees, they are already nishta. But Madhurya Kandamani also says that whilst you are in nishta, you should also exhibit certain elements favorable so that these services are directed in the forward direction, not in some sort of a look-alike activities. And he is saying there are four main components in that. Number one is humility. Number two, giving respect to others. Number three, friendliness. Number four, mercifulness. So Madhurya Kandamani explains that if somebody who is claiming themselves to the stage of steadiness and performing Krishna consciousness activities should not only exhibit the activities of Krishna consciousness, but they should be superimposed with these wonderful four qualities so that The devotion is in the forward direction, not otherwise. So, in terms of our moving from anishtita to nishtita, so now we are in the stage of steadiness. If somebody is in the stage of steadiness continuously, consistently, and if somebody is continuing to perform Panchanga Bhakti without any personal motives, completely uprooted off all material elements, transcending themselves above the modes of material nature, they eventually enter the stage of spontaneous devotional life. Prabhupada explains this as tatastha lakshana only, because tatastha lakshana actually means that he is entering to the stage of bhava and eventually come to the stage of understanding his constitutional identity. So when somebody is situated in the spontaneous city, we already discussed in the last couple of weeks before, 9 symptoms of a person of bhava. Just for the sake of getting into this context and just for the benefit of those who wouldn't have been part of the discussion, I will just read those 9 symptoms just to keep it complete. So these 9 symptoms are the ones which are about those in the stages of bhava. They are tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over him. They are averse to wasting time. They utilize all the time in Krishna's service. They are prideless. They have complete conviction that they will attain Lord's lotus feet. Extremely eager and anxious to attain perfection. Strong attachment for hearing and chanting. No interest that has no interest in Krishna, and love for holy Dham. So this is kind of a summary study of, or summary list of those symptoms of those in the stage of bhava. Now let's talk about a very interesting story where a person who is very dear to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is situated in their spontaneous love for the Supreme Lord. This is the interesting story of Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhara used to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a very, very long time. Since Mahaprabhu used to be a very small boy, Kolavecha Sridhara is the one who sells bananas. And economically, he is very poor. His social status is not up there. His lifestyle and livelihood is not any star rated. His only star rated is his house has got so much holes in the roof that he can directly see the stars sitting inside the house. It's the only star status that he used to have. So poor that his hut, even the roof of the hut is so much damaged that practically, you know, the roof was of no use. So one day Mahaprabhu called Kolavecha Sridhar and said, "My dear Sridhara, I am so much pleased. We are cutting short a long story into a short because we have to finish the class now. I'm so much indebted to you for the kind of love that you have exhibited. I would like to give you something. Sridhara has seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a small baby in Imai. And Kolavecha Sridhar has seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's naughty as a baby Nimai, as a Nimai Pandit. So he has seen all those aspects of Mahaprabhu, like how Vrindavan Vasis knew Krishna as a nutcut, as a naughty child. They never thought him as Krishna, as a Supreme Lord. Similarly, Kolavecha Sridhar did not think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Lord. So one day Mahaprabhu jokingly said to Sridhara that I am Vishnu himself. And this was much before what I am going to narrate. So Sridhara said that, Mahaprabhu, why are you joking? What are you talking? You, Krishna, you, Vishnu? Come on. So he never believed. He shooed away, kind of ignored Mahaprabhu's statement. And he in fact scolded Mahaprabhu, saying that don't talk like rubbish, nonsense and offend. Shut up. Because by age, Sridhara was elder. Eventually, Mahaprabhu showed. His special form to Sridhara. So, there was a conversation happened between Mahaprabhu and Sridhara, where Mahaprabhu said, I am so much pleased with you, my dear Kolavecha Sridhar. Please, allow me to reciprocate the love that you have shown to me. So I would like to give you something. Let's all very hypothetically assume that we also have such an offer from Mahaprabhu like that. Parallelly as we talk. Suppose hypothetically if Mahaprabhu is going to give that offer to you, my dear friend, I'm so much pleased with whatever devotion that you did so far. You please ask me what you want. I'm sure our list will be ready or is ready. We will start stating one after the other, after the other, after the other. But some of us who are little serious and attentive in Krishna consciousness may, in the first chance, tell Mahaprabhu, no, my dear Lord, I don't want anything. So Kolavecha Sridhar also said, my dear Mahaprabhu, I do not want anything from you. Mahaprabhu, for the second time, told Sridhar, no, my dear Sridhar, I am so much in love, indebted to you, and I would like to give you something, please ask for it. The second time also Sridhara said, no, I don't need anything. In our case, if he had said no for the first time, maybe for the second time, we may get some greed or some impulse. I think we should ask. Third time, Mahaprabhu said, Sridhara, I want you to accept. Please ask for what you want. At this time, Mahaprabhu was a little pushy and kind of saying that, will you ask or not? time, Kolavacha Sridhar asked Mahaprabhu, "My dear Mahaprabhu, to be very honest, I don't want anything. I'm completely satisfied. But if you insist upon me that I should ask something to you, then I have only one request. I have been doing the service of giving you, you know, kela, bananas every day to you. And when I serve that to you and when I see you enjoying them, I get a lot of pleasure and I feel very satisfied. So please bestow me with an opportunity to serve you like that, life after life after life. I don't want anything else." Look at the social status of Kolavacha Sridhar. He could have asked for dress, house, vehicle, conveyance, so many things, claiming with a very important rationalization, saying that it is important for my preaching, like all of us claim. Because we think our house, our vehicle, our salary, our health, our wealth, our so many things are the basis on which our preaching is successful. But technically none of them are the basis on which our preaching, our existence of our devotion is successful. It is purely based on our attitude. Kolavacha Sridhara could have asked whatever he wants, but he said, "My dear Mahaprabhu, please bestow me with the benediction to serve you the way you allowed me to serve in this lifetime, life after life after life. That's my only wish." And Kolavacha Sridhar received the big, best and, you know, unimaginable gift of his life. What was that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a tight hug to Sridhara and told Kolavacha Sridhar. He said that from this day, I am yours. You have won over my heart. I am yours. This is what I was explaining about spontaneous relationship between Krishna and his dear devotees. This relationship is so intense. This relationship is so deep. This relationship is so natural. This relationship is beyond all materialistic modes. And in this relationship, Krishna gives full control of himself to that devotee. So Mahaprabhu said to Sridhara, "I am yours. If Krishna is belonging to somebody, then what else is left? If everything else is with us, not Krishna, what do we have?" So, the principle here is that Sridhara, even though he was a simple banana vendor, in his external status, in his social status, in his conditional positioning, he might not be at the classy category. But in his devotional status, he exhibited a very deep, spontaneous service to the Supreme Lord and did not have any tinge of material request. A similar pastime is about Vasudev, the leper in South India. When Mahaprabhu went to South India, he went to Kurma Brahmana's house. And after he finished the meeting, when he was going further down, he forgot, or he suddenly remembered about this Vasudev, So very ardent devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, constantly remembering about Mahaprabhu, or constantly remembering about the Supreme Lord. But nobody gave any importance to him because of his acute leprosy. He had so much acuteness in his leprosy that the whole body had a lot of sores. And from each sore, there were worms that were eating them. And sometimes the worms, the kida, the insect that was biting or eating the sores on his body, sometimes because of his itching, because of his scratching, used to fall down from the sores. And Vasudev used to lift them up and put them back in the sore, saying that, how can I stop somebody from his enjoyment? And it is something that you can't comprehend, but that's what it is. And his body used to stink because of this sore and pus that is coming off each of them. So nobody used to come closer to him. But when Mahaprabhu went and met Vasudev, he gave a tight hug to the leper Vasudev. And in no moment, the devotee whose body was suffering with leprosy got completely cured, and he became a beautiful Vaishnava. This Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Nashta Kushtam Rupa Pushtam Bhakti Tushtam Chakraya. He says, Nashta Kushtam, the consciousness that I was thinking about, the stage of sickness and stagnancy. Rupa Pushtam, because of Mahaprabhu's hug, the beauty of the body get enhanced, so our devotional steadiness is in place. Bhakti Tushtam, spontaneous loving service towards the Lord gets enhanced. Chakraya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that's our Krishna consciousness process. And somebody comes in contact with the Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, what happens? Our sickness gets completely eradicated, our spiritual life gets steady, and eventually we develop spontaneous love for Krishna in such a state that Krishna gives himself to us. So, to summarize our discussion today, I just want to say that this whole context of this particular chapter is pretty intense. So please concentrate on this chapter from a very serious note, because Mahaprabhu is talking about some very complicated and non-comprehensible subject matter, because we don't have such an experience because of our conditioning. So with a conditioned frame of mind, if somebody starts to understand this particular chapter on various aspects of this chapter, we may misunderstand the emotions described as some normal materialistic emotions. So hence, we need to learn this chapter from the directions of our Vaishnava Acharyas and not just assume or interpret something according to our own capacity. So we started to describe about how conscious beings, Chaitanyas, are of two categories, Ishvara and Jiva, independent and dependent. And Ishvara are of two categories, one who not at all touched by Maya and one who accepts the touch of Maya. Narayana is the example for one who not at all touched by Maya. I gave a reference from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. And one who accepts the touch of Maya, example Lord Shiva, again, you know, reference of 10.88.3. And we are not discussing about Ishvara at the current context, but still to give the perspective. And jivas are of two categories. One who is not covered by ignorance and one who is covered by ignorance. One who is not covered by ignorance is the one who are under the influence of Lord's Aishwarya Shakti. And second is one who is not influenced by that Shakti. So these jivas, when they start performing devotional life, develop some instincts, develop some intuitions, develop some progress in devotional life, and after a point in time, because of not being serious enough or not being attentive in their own devotional activities, their spiritual life is becoming stagnant. And we discussed about five aspects of stagnancy or five obstacles that does not allow steadiness to happen. They are laya, which means sleep during kirtana, japa and smarana. Vikshepa, which means distraction towards mundane topics while performing service, includes gossiping while japa. Apratipati, which means inability to perform kirtana in spite of absence of laya or vikshepa or indifference or disinterest in spiritual topics. Fourth is kashaya, which means tendency towards indulging in anger, greed, pride due to past bad habits. Rasasvada, which means inability to absorb the mind in kirtana if one gets the opportunity for material sense pleasure. And if somehow or other, if a devotee is able to win over these spiritual obstacles, then they will be able to transport themselves to the stage of unsteady devotional life to the steady devotional life. Nishta. Nishta are of two categories, or there are two classifications in Nishta in terms of two aspects. One is Sakshat Bhaktir Vartani. Second is Bhakti Anukula Vastur Vartani. In Sakshat Bhakti Vartani, it talks about activities that are concerning Bhakti directly, which is bodily service, vocal activities, mental activities. Bhakti Anukula Vastur Vartani means concerning elements favorable to Bhakti, which is humility, giving respect to others, friendliness, mercifulness. And if somebody takes care of this and they get to the stage of steadiness and consistently performing their Panchanga Bhakti, they will eventually elevate themselves at a point in time when they avoid all offenses, all spiritual consciousness. When they are awakened, they come to the stage of, eventually to the stage of Bhava. And we spoke about 9 symptoms of Bhava, which is about tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over him, averse to wasting time, utilize all the time in Krishna's service, prideless, complete conviction that he will attain Lord's lotus feet, extremely eager and anxious to attain perfection, strong attachment for hearing and chanting, no interest that has no interest in Krishna, love for them. And they eventually get situated in the stage of spontaneous devotional life. And we discuss that how spontaneous devotional life is beyond all the materialistic quotient. And we discuss the pastime of Kolavecha Sridhar and also Vasudev the leper. Thank you so much. Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'm sorry that I little went overboard on my time. I came 15 minutes ahead of time to see to that I just joined on time, but somehow technology didn't help me. So sorry for joining in late. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna. Ram Girdhari Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Sarvajari Srila Prabhupada. Very, very, very nice class. It was nice to hear about the very nice example that you gave about Baba and Prema, and then what happens before that, what is important before that, and then quoting from Madhurya Karandani, talking about Kulavecha Sridhar and Vasudevata. Was very, very nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very comprehensive class. I have one question. This is about the jivas that you were mentioning, the ones that are, have a tendency to be covered and the ones that don't have a tendency to be covered. And then you also gave the example of Brahma and the four Kumaras. So my question here was, please guide me in this. I was kind of getting this idea that, you know, when we talk about the two classifications of the jivas, one is the Nitya Siddhas who come, and the other is the Sadhana Siddhas, you know, who are trying to follow and then perfect their devotion. So the ones who are not the eternal associates of the Lord, they tend to get covered, who are practical, who are coming through the process of sadhana, they get covered, while the Nitya Siddhas are technically not covered. So is that correct understanding?
Yeah, that's a correct understanding, yes.
Okay.
That's absolutely correct understanding.
Okay.
Because, you know, with respect to Jiva, even Prabhupada is a Jiva. And Prabhupada is never covered by ignorance. You know, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that they are called Ishvara Avesha. In one sense, Brahma is a Guna Avatar, but Brahma is also categorized under Jiva only. So from that perspective, they are all classified under Nitya, you know, Siddhas. They are not Sadhana Siddhas. So from that perspective, you understand.
Yeah. Very nice, Prabhu. Thanks for giving that pointer there. That helps a lot. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay.
Anyone else has any comments or questions?
It was too technical to absorb things, probably.
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, all the listeners, Shri Prabhupada. Prabhuji, it's a wonderful class, and there were so many eye-openers in the class. Like, when you said about steadiness in bhakti or steadiness in devotion, there are times when the devotion, we have that in our mind that the steadiness has to be maintained. But then too, there are a lot of fluctuations. I know, like, we understand that it's because of the anarthas. But isn't it a cycle that for the anartha nivritti, we are doing this, but because anartha nivritti is not done, so the steadiness is not coming. So what will come first, or how will it go hand in hand?
Steadiness comes way after anartha nivritti. In anartha nivritti, every time when anartha is removed of, any one anartha is removed of you, you will definitely feel lighter and feel some amount of happiness or some amount of settled nature. But that is still not supposed to be assumed as a stage of steadiness. Like, for example, when a person is whipped on his back for half an hour by somebody and he's undergoing a lot of pain, and suddenly for half an hour he's given a break, and once again he's given a whip on his back. Then he's given half an hour break. Then he's whipped on his back. What do you call that half an hour break as? If you call them as happiness, that's actually an illusion. It's technically absence of pain. So in this material world, anartha nivritti stage is not the stage of pure purity. It's a stage of just unloading the burden that we acquired over a period in time. And we need to get further some positivity in our devotional dimension to progress further. So, as a practitioner, sadhaka, it's definitely a very important, categorically strategic stage to get rid of anartha and nivritti. But then, the steadiness or the ease or the comfort or the pleasure that we get when one of the anarthas are given up, oh my God, yes, now I got rid of, pride, now I got rid of greed, now I got rid of whatever. I mean, anartha, you may know, I'm completely wary of anger, whatever. So you say, then it is good. Definitely, we are making progress. But that is never categorized as steadiness in this, as we discuss in the current context. Because what we are discussing in this current context is completely of a higher dimension where the focus is only devotion, not of anything else. So from that perspective, anartha nivritti comes first, then comes steadiness that we spoke about. And as a part of this steadiness, we are also expected to exhibit. It's not that, you know, we are talking about steadiness in seclusion. We are talking about steadiness in service. So when we are executing our devotional service, being part of this wonderful Krishna consciousness leela, Krishna consciousness activities, we need to show some symptom of, some sign of positive, firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's where we discussed about those qualities of humility, friendliness, giving respect to others, mercifulness. So they are all supposed to be integrated in your services, then it's okay. If our services are out of grudge, the services out of fear, the services out of pressure, the services out of, you know, there's no other choice, so then it's okay. It's not something to be, you know, ignored, but it is something that we need to be conscious that I need to come out of that also. So we need to develop that steadiness using the processes that we defined. Am I making some sense?
Yes, perfect Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so wish you all a very happy Gaur Katha series that going to happen, start from, it's already must have started, or it's going to start from 11th or whatever day. So happy Gaur Purnima. We'll, you know, keep talking probably after Gaur Purnima on this topic again. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ke Jai.
Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Vaishnavinaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank
Hare
you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.